Yes, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We know that this is a day that you've created. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. We thank you for the breath that you've placed in our lungs. And we do. We pour out our praise. We pour out our worship. We spend time with you in the presence of the Lord. Worship is time spent with God. As we praise him, as we glorify him, as we walk with him, and as we talk with him, we spend time with the God that created the universe. And we can do that because of the blood of Jesus. We can spend time with the creator of the universe, y'all. The creator of everything that you can see, everything that you can hear, everything that you can taste and touch and smell. He created all of that. And we can have fellowship with him. Personal fellowship. Just as Adam did. And when he created Adam, he created him for fellowship. He walked with him in the cool of the garden. He talked with him. Oh, that's all he wants from us. Our fellowship. And Jesus died and paid a great price to allow us to be back in fellowship with God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all be seated. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. God is so good all the time. Amen? He is good. He's doing good things in your life. He is doing wonderful things in your life. Some of you don't know it. Some of you got to open your eyes, open your ears, listen to what the Spirit is saying, and know that he is bringing good things unto you. He is the giver of good gifts. Amen? I need to wake y'all up this morning. Wake y'all up. I'm telling you what, this is what you miss out when you don't come to growth class. There was a spirit of joy in the class today, wasn't it? Huh? Spirit of joy was in the house. We were having fun. We were cutting up, laughing. Wanda had to get on to us and said, "This is a class. Y'all be serious." No, she didn't. It was good. But last week, I talked about joy. I ministered on joy. And I want to continue in that same vein because, you know, you look at the world today and I think a lot of the world has trouble in this. They have trouble operating in joy. Do y'all agree with that? I mean, all the things that are going on around us, where's the joy? Where has the joy gone? Well, last week we shared about one key way to get joy back in your life. And just to recap, Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's what the kingdom of God is. You know, the kingdom of God is not, it's not physical in a sense. Remember, they asked him, you know, when is the kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God is inside of you is what he told them. The kingdom of God is inside of you. So it's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's here inside of us. And in Luke 17:20, and this is just recap. I'm just sharing what I shared last week. Says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" We need to get revelation of that. The kingdom of God inside of us. And then I gave a definition of joy, and it said that glorious and triumphant state. That joy, that kingdom of God is inside of you. You're a born again Christian of God. That kingdom of God is inside of you. That means that joy is inside of you. That triumphant, glorious state is within you. Because if the kingdom of God is inside of you, the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy, like we just read in the Holy Spirit, then joy must be inside of those who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Some of y'all hearing this for the first time. Some of y'all heard this last week. But I just wanted to recap. So how do we get that joy that is inside of us out? Well, we talked about that, right? Practice. Sometimes we need to practice. And we talked about the Beatitudes, right? The Beatitudes, the most I mean, if you've been in church at all and you've never heard about the Beatitudes, you probably were sleeping. Because I know that every church in America has preached a sermon on the Beatitudes. And we know it from Matthew 5, you know, eight basic states of being blessed, if we can say that. Being blessed and being joyous, because we shared what blessed meant. It meant happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. How? Regardless of your outward circumstances. And that was the difference between happiness and joy. Remember, happiness relies on your flesh feeling good. Right? Joy does not rely on your flesh feeling good. You can have joy in any circumstance. No matter what you're going through, no matter what has come against you, you can have joy in that circumstance. Some of y'all say, oh, no way. There ain't no way. I mean, you think of a death of a loved one. How do you want to have joy in that circumstance? Well, praise God, I believe and I hope that they're going to heaven. They're going to their permanent home. And you can have joy in knowing that they are there with Jesus, and joy knowing that you're going to see them again. Amen. That it's not final here. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
You can have joy in that situation. We've talked about that a little bit. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit, that mourn in hope, that are meek, that are hunger for righteousness, that are merciful, that are pure in heart, that are peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted for the name of Jesus, that name that we just sung about. So what is joy? It's fulfillment or happiness despite our circumstances. Despite our circumstances. No matter what we're going through, we can have joy. Amen? And when we obey the words of Jesus, our joy is made full. Because we shared that in John 15, verse 10. It said, if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure. And complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Amen? We talked about that full measure and complete and overflowing joy. In obeying there is love, just from that scripture, we said in obeying there is love, and in love there is great joy. Amen? Again, just recapping here. That's why I'm going so fast. Not just any joy, but a full measure, complete, and overflowing joy when we obey. Trisha sent me this message, and I'm going to read in just a second, but I wanted to give you an update. They, of course, are not here. They are going down to Florida, to Miami, to minister to Eldon, her nephew. Pray for Rob and Trisha that God will fill their mouth with the words that need to be heard. And that their hearts are open to receive ministry from the Spirit of God. Amen. And that comfort and peace comes to that family in the name of Jesus. Amen. So she sent me this word the other day. I think it was May 12th. And it was a word from Joel Osteen. I'm sorry. And it just kind of fits. So I want to read this. Some of y'all may have. Does anybody get his daily, today's word or what have you? Let me just read this. It says, Jesus came to give you joy and joy to the full. When your joy is full, it can be seen by others. Joy is supposed to be displayed. I love that. Joy is supposed to be displayed. As believers, we should have a smile on our face. I can see Joel saying this. I can't do his voice. As believers, we should have a smile on our face and a spring in our step. We should be kind and friendly. We should be fun to be around. We should be full of his supernatural joy. Have you allowed the pressures of life to push you down? Have you been more focused on your circumstances than on your God? You know, we talk about, someone came up to me, I ain't going to point them out, said how busy they've been. We all get busy, amen? I've been busy. You know, the enemy tried to steal my joy just yesterday. You know, I got a son that's graduating from college. We're throwing this big shindig, and of course, we got to have everything perfect. What did I say? College? Man, I'm getting ahead of myself. Huh? They said the time would be accelerating in the end days, but I don't want to accelerate it that fast. Graduating from high school, going to college, right? Throwing ambition, you know, everything's got to be perfect. Got to do all this. I'm doing all these projects, and I was out yesterday working on these steps, and I was just worn flat out. I was worn flat out. And my joy was nowhere to be found. I said, what am I doing? Why am I getting worse? And I'm telling you, it felt like a spirit of oppression came over me. Y'all ever had that? A spirit of oppression came over me, and I got with Nikki and I said, I can't do this. I'm not going to do it. So anyway, she, like a wonderful wife did, talked me down, shared some things with me, got me back in my right mind. We spoke the word over it, and thank God my joy came back. I got the project done. But anyways, he comes. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to be in joy. He doesn't want that joy bubbling outside of you to where you're affecting others. Why? Because I believe that joy, people witness that joy and they say, man, there is something different about that person. I wonder what it is. And if they're bold enough, they come up to you and say, something different about you. What is it? And if you're bold enough, that door opens up and you say, well, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about the joy bringer. Let me tell you about the one who died for me to give me that joy. Amen? Amen. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but we don't allow it. Amen? So Joel goes on to say this, if you're not enjoying your life or relationships, it's time to refocus and tap into the full joy within. Tap into the full joy within you. It's time to draw the line in the sand and say, that's it. I'm not going to live another day negative, discouraged, sour, or grumpy. I'm going to put a smile on my face. I'm going to let my joy be seen so I can brighten somebody else's day. I'm going to live my life happy and full of joy. Amen? Isn't that good? I listen to Joel some. He's just too nice for me. No, that's bad to say. I don't know. But he has an uplifting message. He does. And I love little nuggets like this that I can draw from him from time to time. Amen. So I like what he said. When your joy is full, it can be seen by others. And joy is supposed to be displayed. And I've used this example before. But when you're going and you fill up your gas tank, you're in your car. You know, anybody ever had it overflow on you and spill out on the ground? Yeah. Well, that's full to the overflowing. And that's how joy is supposed to be inside of us. We're so full of joy that it's just spilling out on the ground and running all over everybody that's near us. Joy. Joy. Amen? Let me read Romans 15. I endeavor today to increase the amount of joy. I don't know that I can increase it. I don't know if the word can increase it. But it can give you revelation and draw out the joy that is inside of you. Amen? Romans 15:13 says this. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Bubbling over. That's like that gas. Bubbling out of your gas tank. You're bubbling over with joy. Amen? In Galatians 5:22, it describes joy as being what? A fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we know if you're any kind of green thumb person or you've done anything, good fruit only grows on healthy trees. Amen? Good fruit only grows on healthy trees. Now, there's lion fruit out there. We have a pear tree in our yard. When we moved in, most beautiful pears on that thing. I mean big, big pears. Beautiful shape to them. Tree was beautiful. The leaves were green. The bark looked fresh. I don't know, fresh bark. It all looked good. What? I'm not going to eat the bark. I'm not saying it's that fresh. It looked good. The tree looked healthy, right? I pulled one of those pears off, bit into it. I like to broke my tooth on that pear. And it was so sour. Yeah, I said, it was a lion fruit. I almost did like Jesus did to the fig tree. You're not going to bear any more fruit. Lion fruit on a seemingly healthy tree. Amen? Well, some of us, I believe, are like that, if I can say that. You know, from the outside, people look at us, think we got it all together. Living the good life, driving a nice car, living in a nice house. Our kids seem like they're the best kids in the world. Our marriage seems like we got the best marriage in the world. We go to the finest schools. We eat at the finest restaurants. Man, they must have it all together. But their fruit can be lying. Their fruit can be lying because they don't have the joy inside of them that comes with knowing God and His Holy Spirit. But there's an answer. They just need to be pruned. They just need to be cut back. They need to be shown the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy that lives inside of them. Amen? They need to be pruned. That same tree, and we got a couple others. There's many fruit trees in our yard. We had peach trees, cherry trees, apple trees, pear tree. Well, the pear tree is almost on its last leg. Because what I did, Nikki does not want to put a chainsaw in my hands, I can tell you that. But I went and topped that thing out, and I was zzz, 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 cutting some stuff down off that thing. That thing about died the next year. Did the same thing to one of our peach. Now look, when we first moved, this was 6 years ago, peach trees, oh, they had the most beautiful, and those were actually good. I bit into those peaches and they were juicy, fresh, moist. I mean, just melted in your mouth. Even that little fuzzy skin kind of just melted away in your mouth. It was good. So I pruned that thing up. Oh, I don't like that limb right there. Cut that one off. Well, that thing died the next year. Sometimes you can prune a little too much, right? And then just this past storm we had, that pear tree like broke off halfway. And I don't think it's going to make it, that poor thing. I don't know. But you know, when you're pruning things, I call them sucker branches. I don't know what the real name is for them. But those shoots, they shoot off the main, are they called sucker branches? See? They shoot off the main trunk and what they suck, really they suck the life out of the tree. So you got to prune those little sucker branches. Right? And when you prune those sucker branches, it gives more life to the tree, which makes the fruit more beautiful and more edible. Some of us are like that. Some of us need to prune some sucker branches off of us. I ain't talking about people, Gene. I ain't talking about people. Hey, did y'all, you know, okay, I don't. The word dude is pretty popular now. Hey, dude, what's going on? Well, back when I was a kid, hey, you sucker. Didn't y'all, hey, sucker, come on over here, sucker. Y'all ever say that? All right, maybe just me. Maybe that's not appropriate. That was PBA. Pre-born again, okay? PBA. But seriously, I mean, some people, and it, okay, it does apply to people sometimes. You got some joy suckers in your life. They want to suck the life out of you. And they don't even know what they're doing, but that is a ploy of the enemy. I'm not saying the enemy is particularly involved in that person's life, although they can be, but you allow it. You allow them to suck your joy out. You allow your circumstances to suck your joy out. You allow yourself to be too busy to be joyful. And that's what I experienced this past week. Just busy, running around, getting all this stuff done, all these little projects done. And man, I'm ready to sell my house now, as much work as I've done to it in the last couple of weeks. It's looking good. But we get too busy, and it sucks the joy, it sucks the life right out of us. The very life that Jesus died, spilled His blood to give you, you're allowed to be sucked out of you. We need to recognize that. Recognize what those suckers are. Amen. I think God intended us to be self-pruning. It's God's original design. Just like we were talking about earlier, it was God's original design when He created Adam to have fellowship with Him, to walk in the cool of the garden. And, you know, I think we need to be self-pruning. We need to recognize those things and say, I'm gonna cut that out of my life. It's taking too much of my time, stealing my joy. I got to cut that out. You know, this person, I've ministered to them for a long time, and it's not that I'm cutting them out and throwing them away, but I need to maybe spend a little less time with them because they're sucking the life out of me. They're sucking the joy out of me. Maybe God can send another laborer. I've done what I can. You know, God will send another laborer to help them along their way. Maybe God will bring me back into their life at another time. But right now, they're sucking the life out of me. What's sucking the life out of you? What is stealing your joy today? Can anyone in here say that you walk in full joy every day of the week? What are those things that are stealing your joy? Can you identify them? Some of us can't. We don't even know why. We get so busy and into things and stuff going on around us, we don't take time to even recognize why we don't have joy anymore. Can you remember a time in your life when you were joyous? Amen? Sometimes pruning hurts. We know that. We know that. But as a fruit of the Spirit, joy is already in us, but we must cultivate it, practice it, prune it to make it full. To make it full and complete. Amen? How do we do that? We shared by obeying the words of Jesus, by being led by the Spirit of God. But if we don't self-prune, sometimes He has to prune some things for us. And I believe it's, can I say, hurts less if we prune ourselves before God prunes us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm getting there. I've been going so fast, I figure I'll slow down and let y'all have time to get to it. He chastens, He disciplines the ones He loves. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll start in verse 1. And I'll be reading out of the Amplified. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, that's unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence an appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract, to who? To Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials. Think about what Jesus suffered and compare it with your trials. So that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. You have not yet struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have you yet resisted, and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by Him. Verse 6 is what I want to get to. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom He loves, and He punishes, even scourges, every son whom He accepts and welcomes to His heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Doesn't that sound better to do it yourself than to have him discipline you? Now, I'm not saying that he does not bring bad things in your life. He doesn't cause bad things to happen to you to discipline you. We're not saying that. But what father who loves his child doesn't discipline him? What child has experienced a good whooping from their father? Or a good sit down talking to? Amen? But when we prune, when we either self-prune or God prunes things in us, and because He chastens us, He disciplines us, it's all for this purpose. Just like that tree, you prune it for one purpose, to produce good fruit. You prune those things in your life. God prunes those things in your heart for one purpose, to produce good fruit in your life. Amen? Obeying the Word of God and removing or pruning those things out of our life that hinder or thwart our spiritual growth. That's what we're doing. We're removing those things. That's all pruning is. Removing things that are a block or a hindrance to growth. Right? In the natural, in the spiritual realm. We're pruning things out of our life that's hindering our spiritual growth. Because if you look at Jesus' words in Luke 3, verse 7, he basically says if we don't bear good fruit, we're going to be cut down. Just like I did to that poor peach tree. It didn't bear good fruit, I cut it down. Luke 3, verse 7 says, so he said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, you offspring of vipers, who secretly warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruits that are deserving and consistent with your repentance. That is, conduct worthy of a heart change. Conduct worthy of a heart change. A heart abhorring sin. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up descendants for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, so that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. We're to bear good fruit. We're to prune our lives of these things that are distracting us, that are stealing our joy, taking our time. We're to spend more time with the Father. Spend more time with the Father. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And we were talking about that this morning, in the presence of God, spending time with God, fellowshipping with God. It says right there, in His presence is the fullness of joy. Remember what Jesus said in 15. When we obey His word, when we obey His instructions, when we abide in His love, there lies the fullness of joy. Amen? And we know that from 1 John 4:16 that God is love. You know that. I mean, if you don't know anything, you know that God is love. And when we abide in Him, when we abide in that love, our joy will be made full. So not only are we to practice it just by practicing those Beatitudes and lining up our life with, because those are instructions, right? He said, if you obey my instructions, those Beatitudes are instructions to us. If we'll line our life up with what the Word of God says, He says that'll make your joy full. It'll make it full. And then He said, if you'll abide in me and obey my word, just as I abide in the Father and obey His word, that my joy may be full in you. Amen? Verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him." So when we listen and obey, then we abide in His presence, where there is fullness of joy. If you don't get anything else from today, obey and abide. Obey and abide. Obey and abide. Because when you obey His instructions, when you abide in His love, there is the fullness of joy. Amen? Joy. Joy, joy. Obey and abide. Obey and abide. Sounds like pig Latin. Obey. Obey. Inge. Esse. Underful way. And may. You don't know what I said, did you? I ain't speaking in tongues. That's pig Latin. Come on, y'all know what pig Latin is, don't you? Huh? Tony deciphered my code. Gene is a wonderful man. That's what it was. He said it. Gene is a wonderful man. Pig Latin. Y'all learned a new language today. He's fluent in it. I could just hear him going down the hallway. Listen, I just want your joy to be made full. And when you obey His word, when you abide in His love, when you spend time with God, fellowshipping with Him. Fellowshipping with Him. Jesus, He paid a great price for that. A tremendous price. And you know what? It's almost, when we don't take the time to fellowship with God, it's almost like kicking Jesus under our feet. Not really understanding what He did for us. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of an analogy for that, but I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me. But I'm serious. If you don't take the time to fellowship with God, it's like putting, it's like making the cross of no importance to you. Because that's what He did. He brought us back into fellowship with God by the shedding of His blood. Adam gave it away. Adam had it. He gave it away. He bowed his knee to Satan, gave it all up. But Jesus came to give it all back. To give it all back. Amen? Y'all going to go with joy in your heart today? Are you going to let it bubble up outside of you? so that when you come in close vicinity of anyone, they're going to know something is different about you. Not just that you're peculiar. You are a peculiar people. But in a good way. Amen. Father, thank you for the joy that you placed inside of us by the fruit of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, it's my prayer today that if anyone in here under the sound of my voice is not realizing that joy in their life, Father, that you show them, because you lead and guide us into all truth. And the truth is that Jesus died for us to have fellowship with you. And when we spend time with you, when we abide in your love, your joy is made full in us. And that joy is going to just spill out of us, bubble over, infect everyone that we come in contact with. Why? So that we can preach the good news. We are an open Bible. Our life is an open Bible. When people see us, see our life, hear our words, see our actions, it should reveal you in everything that we do. Father, I thank you that your joy is made full in us, and that we have a revelation of that, and that we recognize when that thief comes to steal our joy, and we cast him down, we cast the thoughts down of not living in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is where our strength is. We have strength in that joy. It gives us strength to carry us through every circumstance and situation. It's the very definition of joy. Happiness, regardless of the circumstance or situation we're facing. So I thank you, Lord, that joy is rising up in our heart. Rising up inside of us. Filling us to overflowing. And Lord, that we're sharing that joy with a world that is so confused and caught up in deception and lies and hate. But I thank you. I thank you for the victory that Jesus provided. And that victory will overcome the enemy in any situation. When light comes in, darkness flees. We are the light of the world. When we come in full of joy, darkness can't exist in our presence. So Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.